Here we go around the bend. Felix filled in for 3 days. Dre's comes in now, does today and tomorrow as well. When's Tom get back? Any idea? Where is Tom? Has anybody checked on him?
He's coming back on Monday.
Anybody checked on him?
No, he texted me about some of his plans. He's trying to travel a little bit, but I don't remember.
From where? The living room to the dining room? Here comes the wooden wagon. Speaking of traveling, that is, of course, the wagon that brings in the teeny tiny lady who's in a pickle jar. She's in this beautiful pickle jar. She's been in there her entire life. She doesn't know any different, and she loves the fact that she gets a big part of the show. She chooses the letter of the day. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. Come on in through the state roofing text line at 98973. And you listen closely. We get that microphone right there close in on top of the wagon. Oh, Trace will be happy with this. It's the old bowler bringing in the teeny tiny lady.
I've been bowling since I was 27 years old, and that's a lot of bowling.
I don't believe this! What?
I'm 97. Going to be 97 in November the 30th.
Wait a minute.
I had all strikes in a row. Not an open frame at all. And that's hard. It's hard for a woman to do that.
Well, yes it does.
Diving in it. No, you feel so bad for the teeny tiny lady. First of all, she's in a pickle jar, stuck with these different people that we listen to once, and she just listens to over and over again. All right, here we go. The big news. By the way, did you go to some college around here, Drace? Did you go to UW or Cougar or something like that? Or
Nothing big. Nothing. No. Nothing worth mentioning.
Go ahead. You mention it.
That's okay.
All right, fine. Nothing wrong with W Community College. Shoreline Community College. Votech, was it that Votech place over in Tukwila?
You're cold, man.
How about University of Phoenix? By the way,
you're going to find it, huh?
U.S. News and World Report, University of Phoenix, worst party school in the United States. By the way, the Pac-12 football comes back again. So, oh, golly, it's going to be a truncated schedule. They're going to do 7 games starting November 6th. I guess they think they've got everything worked out because they saw that everybody else was playing. And then they said, hey, we should get in there and play as well. Although, I think it was Notre Dame. Did Notre Dame the other day get tested? You see this, Jacob? A whole bunch of guys have COVID something or other, so that they think Notre Dame is going to stop for a little while and then go back in again.
Yeah, I know Ed Ogeron of LSU said that most of the team had tested positive. So at that point, that was a problem too. Yeah, it's been a little crazy.
Okay. Anyway, do you care that Pac-12 was back? Do you play? Do you watch college football at all?
Love college football. Love it. I mean, I'm conflicted like anyone where I'm like, well, what happened to the whole COVID scare? I thought that was why you guys were stopping and we were pushing. But, you know, the fan in me, yeah, of course, you want to see the dogs. You want to see the dogs go to work, right?
So
what about you?
I love college football. I don't the COVID thing. I'm with Dr. Atlas on this. It's not how many people get it. It's who gets it. And whether or not they go to the hospital. So these guys are in incredible shape, and I am shocked that they make – so the ref is wearing a mask. None of the players are wearing masks. And the way somebody like Gilmore ends up covering a Metcalf on Sunday, I mean, he's practically in his helmet. They're breathing on one another, and what, they're all safe, I guess, because they've been tested, but somebody could still be – you know, it's a mess, and it's luckily it'll all go away when Joe Biden is elected president of the United States. COVID will no longer be needed to be reminded how horrible Donald Trump is and that 200,000 people died because of him. So I'm cynical on it, but I do love college football. To me, I like watching it. I think it's more exciting than professional football. I don't know what it is, but the speeds, they seem so much faster. And then when they get into the pros, it's like, whatever happened to that guy? I thought he would be much better. But good for them. Good for the Pac-12 to come back. They need the money, and they'll be playing starting on November 6th. Protesters marched through the streets of Seattle yesterday in honor of Breonna Taylor and in honor of her. They broke things. They set things on fire. I guess not in honor of her, just the people that like to, not protest necessarily, but like to break things and have anarchy. So 13 of them get arrested.
Downtown. It was a very peaceful.
Zomar Salisbury from Coverage Media talking to Dave Ross this morning.
Protest, and usually when it's like that, you don't see much police. Didn't see much police from Westlake over there to the federal courthouse. Of course, it's only a few blocks. Then there was a candlelight vigil right there at the federal courthouse. Now, the protest on Capitol Hill, it was almost like hopping in a time machine, Dave Ross. I felt like that I was there at CHOP in the Western Barricade. And where the protesters right there on 11th and Pine, and the police right there one block away at the East Precinct.
All right. And they're out marching around. Salisbury says it talks about the violence and what he saw.
The baseball bat one I didn't see from that vantage point. From my vantage point, the officer rolling over the protester's head, I did see. It looked more like, kind of his head, neck area. I mean, I wouldn't say it got funky last night, but it definitely got real spicy. It was, a lot of direct interaction between the police and the protesters. And, we saw a lot of push like that. And what we saw, though, as far as the overall tactics, it kind of looks similar to what we've seen before in previous protests. I tell you what, I lost a lot of COVID weight last night, man. Moving around Capitol Hill, cause there was a pushback from the East Precinct all around, parts of Capitol Hill and then back to Cal Anderson Park.
Okay. I watched some of the video. There's a thing of the baseball bat. Did you see the cop get hit in the back of the head with the aluminum bat?
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it.
Okay.
Cracked him over the head. Not good.
Could have killed him. Here's my take on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009, 54% of those people that watched Fox News thought that Barack Obama was born in another country and also believed he was Muslim. 54%. Now, why did they think that?
Someone reported it.
Right. And did anybody say it's not true?
Yeah, tons of people.
Tons of people did, right. But then the people that were watching Fox continued to get stuff from, consultants or they'd bring in pundits and stuff that would just sort of hint at the fact that, it's possible. We'll talk to them now.
Right.
Is it possible that someone could actually take the Honolulu Press, the newspaper? Is it some way they could have manipulated that in some way? Is that really the thing? Well, I heard that the doctor that signed his birth certificate actually had a drug problem. Just to create enough... Just enough, throw enough things out there, just a little bit of red herrings, just to make a person go, I guess it's possible. I guess he could have been born in Indonesia. I guess he could be a Muslim. That explains why he's done this, this, and this. You want to draw all the lines together so that you could say, well, this guy is not really, shouldn't be the president of the United States. Everybody's pulling all the wool over our eyes. We should do something. So what if 54% of those people that were watching Fox News that believed he was from another country, what if they went down to the White House and demanded that they removed Barack Obama because he is an illegitimate president because he wasn't born to this country? What would you say?
Idiots.
Right. And it's idiots because someone told them something and then they shared it and didn't believe it. And when somebody started to say, listen, there's no possible way. He was born in Honolulu. Here's his birth certificate. This is it. This is the numbers. This is the Honolulu Press. This is the evidence. Here's the evidence. Take the evidence. But you're not going to win on this one, guys. Go find something else to believe, right? You would then be frustrated with the fact that they still want to hang on, right? And even Donald Trump was like, I don't know, with a birther, I'm going to be able to reveal this just enough to keep everybody on edge. They're dumb people believing dumb stuff, right? They're ignorant to the truth, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
Okay. So that's what you have in the streets of the United States last night, and again, I'm sure tonight and another night, when you are told that black people are being indiscriminately assassinated by white police officers all across the United States, and it's happening all the time, and the entire system is systematically racist, and you can't go out of the house without fear for your life because some cop is going to kill you, that is a lie. Donald Trump is telling people something. Barack Obama telling people something. Some people believe some stuff. Other people believe other stuff. The media has a responsibility, just the way Fox should have stopped having those pundits on to say, look, guys, he's born here. He's an American citizen. You may not like him or not. You can vote him out. The media likes to be able to keep this stuff going. Think of it like a crappy bar where they know their patrons. They know what they want to serve. The patrons get served the stuff. They stumble out. There is no concern for the ability for that patron to make a rational decision after they have served the junk that the media serves them. So that's the people that are out in the streets last night smashing things because they should have done something else about the two other cops. They're reacting not to facts but to feelings. The same thing whether it's the birthers or whether it's these people that believe the cops are indiscriminately racist actions against black people is a lie, just like the stuff about Barack Obama not being born in this country was a lie.
Oh, boy. I, I'm gonna hop out the car at some point. Like I was with
you. Can't get out of the
ride.
Car. You can't get out.
No, we were. I mean, we were good. We were
I've
all
got the
way.
Controls. Once we got, I have the button. I have the power lock. It's a power lock. I'm in a Cadillac.
I looked at. I'm like, John, you cannot be serious with this.
Oh, I am.
Okay, so no, I'm with you on some of it. I mean, good. The whole what happened with Barack Obama. Love it. I mean, I think you're making the difference in your analogy where it breaks down is the idea that with Obama. Here are the facts, right? Here's the truth of the facts, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The difference with this case, right, is we're not arguing that the facts are wrong. We don't disagree on the facts, right? None of us disagree on the facts. We disagree with what to do about the facts. Well, that now you're getting into that essentially is an opinion. Well, what do you think should be done? I think we should go this way. I think we should go that way.
Right.
The facts of the matter. I'm totally all good with the facts of what happened in the case. What we're saying to you very simply is the system, if you will, the system's not broken. The system's doing exactly what it was designed to do. We don't like the system, right? So you're looking and you're going, well, that's justice. You inherently believe that if we go through this process, we'll achieve justice. That's not true. We're saying we have to correct the system so it actually can achieve justice. You can't prove, you might be able to prove that Barack Obama it was not born in a foreign country, right? You can prove that with his birth certificate.
Right.
What you cannot prove, you cannot disprove systemic racism. You cannot disprove the same way I can't prove that there's malice in someone's heart. You can't disprove it either. So what we're trying to say is we're looking at a trend of something that consistently happens. I'm okay if you want to look and go, you know what? Those two other police officers do not need to be charged with murder. Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Yeah.
But when you look and you go, nothing? So what should they be charged with?
Nothing.
You tell me.
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
That's the problem. Because far too often, too consistently, when people who look like me are in that position, it's constantly nothing. If it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck. After a while, I say it's a duck. I'm sorry. No. The idea of nothing, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen and say, okay, not murder. Fine. But nothing?
Nothing.
No.
You can't.
No.
Like, there's no. Trace, they have 6 types of homicide in the state of Kentucky. You got to go by the law. And the law is you couldn't charge them with anything.
No.
The police have this thing called qualified immunity, which basically says.
I got you.
And the reason they set up qualified immunity, and here's why. I looked it up a couple months ago. You would never be able to get a guy or a girl or anybody else to be able to apply for the job to be a police officer if you didn't offer them qualified immunity, which basically says that they have the power to fire that gun and to take someone's life based upon this. If they believe, would any reasonable person believe that their life is in jeopardy at that point, that they could die or receive some type of bodily injury, they're allowed to pull the trigger. That's it. It's as simple, and they have to make it as simple as possible for the jury to understand it. If they didn't get qualified immunity, you'd be able to take that guy, that cop, and put him on trial for murder, right? Now, the difference is this. Here's the facts. The fact is this, and you and I talked about this before. So if you want to riot, if people want to riot, I said this so many times, people are sick of it. In 2019, the number of people that were black, that were shot by police, that were unarmed, the answer is 9. People believing that it's happening all the time, the numbers go down every single year. I said this yesterday to Felix. In 1971, 343 people in New York City were shot by police officers. 91 of them died in 1971. 91. It is down to 9. What's happening is it's coming down, even though the cities are more populated. The number of people being shot and killed by police is coming down every single year. And the fact is that it's not going up. So it's not as bad as people think it is. And if you want
to ask you a question.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe in the death penalty?
No.
No. OK, so if you were in a state that actually has the death penalty,
it doesn't. Right? The death penalty doesn't work. But go ahead.
But if you were part of a place that actually they execute the death penalty,
right.
It would be the law, right? It wouldn't make it right. It would mean it's the law. We would have a bad law. So to get rid of it, we would need to change it. What we're trying to say is there's a ton of things within the system that we don't agree with that need to be changed so that it can execute what it's supposed to be there for. It's not achieving justice. You keep bringing this. You keep going, well, these are the facts. Well, this is the law. I'm with you there.
Right.
What we're trying to say to you is the system's not working. So we're coming. We're looking at the end of a situation like this. We're looking and we're going, man, okay, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Not murder. Fine. Fine. I'm with you. It makes sense. Okay. A guy, these cops get shot at. They got to shoot back in this scenario.
Right.
I get you. On the flip side, walking away? No, because you had a responsibility as well. You have a responsibility to pronounce yourself. And when you don't pronounce yourself, well, and that happened, and this woman gets killed, that matters.
Listen, everybody has said it's tragic. Now the one witness says that I heard
no.
One witness says I heard them announce the cops. They knocked at the door. They weren't doing a no-knock
warrant.
And
several others say no.
Okay. All right,
several others say no.
I understand. The same sort of thing the witnesses that were the Michael Browns. Some of them said one thing. Some of them said another. The grand jury, which is jury of the peers, listened to it and said, you know what? There's not enough evidence to bring anything forward against these two police officers. You're not going to be able to charge them with anything. You can change things, actually, through the ballot box. But it's harder to change things when you throw a brick through a window or hit a cop in the back of the head with a baseball bat.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
They're not. By the way, the people that are doing that stuff, Dre's, they don't give a crap about Breonna Taylor. They don't care about anybody.
You and I agree on this. We're not for riots. We're both for protesting. And so, for me, people can protest. Let's continue to mention the candlelight vigils, the masses of people across the country mm-hmm. who are doing this right, who are being heard. And some people need to grieve, and that's okay. I think that's great. People should have that opportunity. And then let's start moving towards change. Period. Okay. Whatever we don't like, let's change it.
Okay, so what you're saying is that since you didn't get the outcome you like, then you want to change the system.
I'm saying the system is broken. It consistently is failing to achieve justice. Let's change it.
All right.
It's not about this one instance. This instance is a part of a thread that's a part of an entire fabric of an entire system that we are going to pull little by little until we bring what we don't like. It's going to be destroyed in time, whether it's today or tomorrow. It's going bye-bye. It's just, you know, when.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Let me go to, let's go to traffic in the meantime until it goes bye-bye.
Ebony and Ivory, cue the music.
I don't have it right now, but... Like washing windows and doors, get those windows and doors fixed. If they're not sitting right, if you got the broken seal, you got moisture in between, get them fixed before, as Dre says, the revolution begins and then everything changes. So get that windows and doors fixed first. Maybe they're having a windows and doors revolution sale right now over at Lake Washington. Windows and doors. Okay. Wow, you are a handful today, my friend. It lulled me into a false sense of security by you basically making love to that 97-year-old bowler over the phone and then come around with that whole revolution thing. I thought I'd play this song for us. This is when he had a cast on his arm for no reason. Yeah, Michael Jackson, Black or White. The short version.
Actually a question.
What was what'd you say? What'd you say?
That was a question. That wasn't the song. Michael Jackson, Black or White. That's the question.
Is he like OJ, where I'm not black, I'm OJ? Did he transcend his race with enough bleach?
He said he was, you know, he always stood up for the causes, so I'll give him that. He actually was always riding for the cause. However, there was definitely some identity issues when you looked at him. Definitely.
That is as I said, one last thing. We did not plan on talking about Michael Jackson.
No.
But I have to say something.
We didn't. Yeah.
What happened to him is a form of child abuse, right? Obviously. Something went wrong in his childhood that he ends up carrying the entire family. There's a thing called parentification, which is where you say to a little kid, and this happens a lot, the mom says to the daughter or to the son, "You're mommy's only friend. I can't trust you. Daddy does this and daddy does this, or mommy does this and mommy does that." So now all of a sudden the 5-year-old is suddenly responsible for the happiness, or the son is responsible for the happiness and the security of the entire family based upon the parent mm-hmm. doing parentification. So I would assume that Michael Jackson at the age of 5 or 6 suddenly realizes, I'm carrying, I mean, Tito has little or no talent. I mean, even Michael understood that, right? And I'm carrying all of these people. I am the whole team too much pressure on that. He loses his childhood and then all the other stuff. True or not true, you can watch the documentaries. Something happened to him early on. Parentification is a form of child abuse, which destroys the child's ability to be able to fully grow up from a child to an adult and take on the pressures and stresses and strains of everyday life. There.
I cannot confirm or deny. I appreciate you diagnosing exactly what happened with Michael Jackson. I don't know. I just know that there were definitely some issues. I would assume it was pretty deep because at some point I was like, man, you've had like three or four childhoods. Like, when do you start to get to, you know, 22 or 23 or, you know what I mean? Mm. So there were definitely some issues. It wasn't good. You know, as a person and to what we were speaking to earlier,
yeah.
I think that this is the mental pressures that tend to happen with a lot of people where there's, you know, there's just coloring things that happen. Right. So it mm-hmm. wasn't just him being like a child. It was also, he didn't appear happy with his appearance, skin appearance. Right.
No.
And so, wanting to be lighter rather than, you know, there's a whole culture around being lighter and how that's better and what, you know, the many ways our society communicates that to people and how people download that subconsciously or consciously. And he happened to be a person with hundreds of millions of dollars who was able to do something about it. So
I remember the day he died, I was on East Lake Sammamish Parkway. I was coming back. Mm-hmm. I forget it was like 3:30 in the afternoon or something. And Ron and Don were on the air. And Ron did a number on Michael Jackson, basically just ripping him. And Don was like, you know, very talented guy, right? And then Ron just went off on him. Sean might have been here at that time. You remember that, Sean? And Ron goes to town on Michael Jackson, and then everyone tears into Ron saying, you don't give mm-hmm. a guy like at least 24 hours. You know, and Ron was adamant on what Michael Jackson really meant to the lives that were destroyed, and we can put him aside as a pop star. And people that were listening to the show just filled the texts and phone calls. And I remember Ron holding his ground saying, nope, I'm sorry. Yeah, great musician, but that does not mean anything when you consider the lives that were destroyed allegedly by the actions of Michael Jackson. Remember that, Sean?
And John, yeah, for the record, I was here that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
that really
weird,
adds
wasn't
to
it?
The story. No, it was. I don't know if it was weird because I know Ron and a lot of people don't care for Michael Jackson and they've had their own abuse issues when they were younger. So I could understand where Ron was coming from because of his own experiences.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was hoping you'd add more, but apparently not. Can you do me a favor? Can you cut Sean out of the podcast? Is that possible? Do you know how to do that? Make those.
You know, we can do that.
Yeah. Okay. You could tell I didn't care much about this other story because I thought I'd talk about that one instead. But I know you read it, Dre. So it says it turns out that the pandemic has made us better partners. I called bull feathers on this one. I don't believe it. I don't know who they spoke to, but I would assume more people spending more time together in a closed environment, husband, wife, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, you are not better partners. You learn to really annoy each other to a whole new level.
I don't know. I can't say, you know, I'm in the house with my wife every day and I don't know that we're any better or any worse. We're the same people from actually living with some. To me, it just says you're going to learn whether you really like this person or not. So I would assume that several people broke up in the pandemic. So all we have left are the people who made it. And so because we have this group of people who made it out, are you in a relationship? And if so, is it better or worse because of the pandemic?
I didn't pay any attention to the pandemic. I made sure that my friends, in fact, I had a party on Monday and I invited a whole bunch of people. And my only friends who showed up were Mike and Carol Dillon. And they're like, no one's wearing masks. I was like, no. No one's wearing masks. Are we going to put masks on later on? No, we don't wear masks. We don't wear them. Well, we're not comfortable with this. I said, okay, then you guys can sit over there. So we put two seats for them over there. They ate their ribs and they sat off to the side. Everybody else just walking around, open mouth kissing. Just, just crazy. It was like the 80s again.
I love that they were, everyone will just put the masks on later. There's going to be at some
Carol
point
was trying to give us like some sort of benefit of the doubt. Like, will there be some point like a gong and then we all put the masks on or something? I said, no, we don't wear them. Don't believe in it. This is the way we roll over here in Sammamish. What's wrong?
Look, man,
no, I see Rachel over there. Oh, the whole COVID thing. She's all scared of it. Nope. Onward, upward. Here we go. Everybody on, take your masks off, open mouth kissing.
Never going to happen. If there's no Max on, I'm definitely not going to be there. But in that, all I can say is I know a lot of people in relationships. As you said about this story, I'm with you. I call a hock of crap. This is not true.
It doesn't
there's
work.
There's no way this is true. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Oh, I mean, by the way, here.
You're either.
Yeah. One. Here's one for you. Would you ever let your wife look at your phone without you standing there? You just said, here's the passcode. Go ahead. Search it all you want. Would you do that?
Absolutely. Take it. There's nothing there. Take it. Please do.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nothing. My wife has all the passcodes right now, man, from my email to everything.
Wow. You are an unusual cat. I'll turn on that right now.
It's easy. Easy. Nothing, here's
some more,
man.
Here's some more Michael Jackson coming at you. All right, quickly, here comes the mailman, and there he is. Wow, right into it. Nice! Sean, you better look out. New guy coming to take your place. Mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Grace doesn't like this song either. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door. Yeah, any song that's not his. I don't even know if I like Michael Jackson. All right, we'll get to letter today, but first let's take care of all the rest. By the way, the rule is, you just read what they wrote, you're not allowed to comment, you just right on through, okay?
Mm-hmm. Hello!
All right, there's Teeny Tiny. Go, Dre's your first.
All right. Mm-hmm. From the 206, they did announce themselves. There's even a witness from the apartment complex that said they said police. That's two letters about Breonna Taylor protest.
That's right. 206 says two things I keep hearing that seems to differ is did or didn't they knock when they announced, and she was still in bed or standing next to her boyfriend. I hope this leads to changes in tactics, though. There are so many things that can go wrong.
From the 360, when two cops fire 26 rounds in self-defense and the only person they hit six times is an innocent bystander, seems like a problem.
And 206 says, people really need to stop calling this murder. Murder involves intent. Pretty damn rare that a cop starts a shift thinking about killing anybody.
From the 253, if the police know the suspect is inside and there is no way out other than the front door, why do the police need to break down the door? The police escalated the situation that put innocent bystanders in harm's way. It was a foreseeable consequence of the police action.
Okay, the old bowler, Brad the Painter, says, in honor of Dre's being on the show, I rate that bowling segment as solid.
From the area 253, John, you're just jealous.
I am. I admit. 206, did you hear Cake Boss impaled his hand resetting bowling pins? What is that supposed to mean? Go ahead. Go ahead, Andy.
Andy, on the road less traveled. Hi-ho, fellas, and happy Friday Eve. Fellas, mm-hmm. John's story reminded me of when my grandmother's friend, who was also a Titanic survivor, read our tea leaves. And as a rule, I put little stock in such things. But one aspect was oddly prophetic. Mm-hmm. She said that later in my life, I would be fearful of going outside while I was stuck inside listening to the deranged ravings of a disgraced former television host and game show contestant. Odd, right? That's it, fellas. Have a great rest of the week and go Pats.
Thank you for that, Andy. 206 says, hey, Curly, that was a horrible cut with the lady in the pickle jar. I know tons of people that would kick the holy living crap out of you bowling. Okay, fine. Really? Is that what it's turned into now? I know. Old people can beat me bowling.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Golly gee. All right, you also have to do letter of the day. Go ahead, Grace. Oh, it's a long one. Oh, my God.
OMG, that was hilarious. I love it. It was terrible. I heard that and pumped my fist into the air with a resounding yay and great big giant toothy smile on my face. That was the intent. As Curly and Jacob pointed out, if you can envision each person's voice in the show talking, singing, say like Tom rap singing, like Bill Belichick for the all makes and models, autos, trucks, and RVs, or Jacob reading his part like a sentence in front of a newscast camera, going for the so hometown crew for the Cairo region, almost Dick Van Dyke style, like the trenchless in Seattle bit.
Yep.
That was a true treat, guys. Validation on the double take factor of my spot, Lounge Lizard. Vocal track was intended to be an incentive to replace them. Ha ha ha. Dre's, you handled that so dang cool. Being put on the spot to pass judgment on a freak of nature tune. Let Dre's know I'd love to contribute to his musical adventures. XD.
There you go. See that? You pulled it out. There you go. That's from Sean in Arlington. He wrote that jingle. That's what happened.
Shout out to Sean.
There we go.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Let's do another hour of this.
She left the rumor hanging around my front door.